The New Testament reading today is from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, the 22nd through 30th verses. Hear now the word. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you didn't believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." These, along with the writings of the psalmist in Psalm 23, are for us the words of God, for us the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and Holy One, as we reflect on these words, grant that through my words, and in spite of my words, your word might be heard. Amen. Listen. Did you hear that? No? Well, listen again. Nothing? I was hoping we'd hear that voice that we just read about in the Bible. What is it really? The voice of God? The voice of Jesus? What did they hear? How did they hear? Was it loud? Was it soft? Those are just some of the questions that bubbled up in my mind this week as I began to prepare for this sermon. It's always a privilege, a joy, and truth be told, a task to write a sermon. Each of us approaches it differently. Each of us over time ends up with a particular or at least recognizable style. In large part, their speeches or declamations. They try to bring a good word of interpretation to the congregation. Sometimes I like to switch it up a little. You've heard me invite you to wrestle with the passage as we read it together, one section at a time, and then talked about it. Some of you have also heard me dive into a passage and deliver my sermon as if I were one of the characters in the passage. There are a lot of ways to do it. One really typical approach is to do a full-blown exegesis, interpretation of the passage, and then find some contemporary examples that hopefully bring the passage into today's world and circumstances. But sometimes it's most meaningful to sit with the passage and allow it to filter into you, to allow it to dance in your mind for a while and see what bubbles to the top. And that's what happened to me this week as I was reading and rereading this gospel passage. And then on Tuesday morning at the men's breakfast, where the preaching pastor has the opportunity to share with these lovely gentlemen, what scriptures we'll be talking about on Sunday and what the sermon might be, I told the men just that. It's Tuesday. I don't know where this sermon's going. But I told them what I was doing, how I was sitting, what my process was. We had a great conversation. And on my way out, one of the men patted me on the shoulder and he said, "You know what? That ought to be your sermon this week." I said, "What?" He said, "That ought to be your sermon this week. What you're thinking, what the questions are that are raised as you do this studying. More of a conversation than an oration. That would be good to hear sometime." And I thought, why not? So today I invite you to listen in, if you will, to the musings that went on in my head and heart as I wrestled with this week's passage, to listen in as I share with you what bubbled up. And here's my bravest statement so far. Since we can't really have a question and answer right now in this particular setting, I'm going to invite you now and at the end of this sermon to take some time this week to sit with a passage, this one or another one, to listen with your heart and see what you hear. And if you have questions or responses, or responses to my questions, give me a call. Send me an email. That can be our conversation. Are you game for this? Good, because this is what's coming. Don't have a plan B. All right, let's go back to the text. John 10, 22 to 30. This gospel passage for today moves us from post-resurrection stories of John's gospel back to the middle of the gospel, back to chapter 10. And here we find Jesus in conversation with some very frustrated Jewish leaders who are asking, more like demanding, that he stop keeping them in suspense. If you're really the Messiah, they say, tell us plainly. Well, I did, and you didn't believe me. And then he makes a very interesting statement that's recorded in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And my musings began. My sheep. We've heard that kind of metaphorical language before, haven't we? Actually, just last week. Last week we heard it from the passage in John 21. Feed my sheep. We know that this is a popular metaphor in John's gospel, and it's seen especially in the early verses of today's chapter, chapter 10, where we read that Jesus is both the shepherd and the sheep gate. The sheep gate. And lest you worry that that doesn't make sense, it didn't make sense to them either. And we're told that in verse 6. And in verse 20 of chapter 10, they declare this is just crazy talk. He's speaking like one who has a demon. He is out of his mind. And so the first question that bubbled up for me this week was about the use of metaphor. Now, what do I mean by metaphor? You remember, a metaphor is one of the most common figures of speech, a rhetorical device that creates a comparison between two seemingly unrelated things, suggesting a resemblance or an analogy. That's a little pedantic, isn't it? How about an example? My husband is a rock. Well, some of you know him. I just saw him over in Nonpoint. And you know he's not really a rock. Rocks don't play pianos. But you didn't even think about that anyway, did you, when I said that? What you heard is that I am grateful. Grateful for a partner who's supportive, reliable, strong. You and I might think about metaphor as some sort of poetic imagination or rhetorical flourish. But really, it's a big part of our everyday language. In fact, it's such a ubiquitous feature of our language that we don't often give it much thought. And some of you may be thinking, so why are we giving it thought today? It's not what I thought was coming for. It's part of my musings. We're going to give it some thought. I've really, for a very long time, been interested in the use and play of language in the Bible. And I find it fascinating to explore the meaning of the words, the added flavor that comes with the study of the words in their original language, and even the way that English translations change. We use phrases differently in King James than we do in modern English. Words are fascinating. But that's not what I've been thinking about so much this week. What I've been pondering this week has to do with what we do with the words, how we interpret them, and how at times we limit them. It's easy for us to hear and consider Jesus as the Good Shepherd. He's been depicted that way since the beginning. From paintings in the catacombs to modern artistic renderings, it's common to see Jesus as a shepherd. We sing about this. We use this language all the while knowing he wasn't really a shepherd. And we're sure that we're not really sheep. And then this led me to thinking about a lot of the metaphors we use in the Bible. The metaphors we use for Jesus and for God. Think about it. Jesus is the good shepherd, the sheep gate, the true vine, the living water, the living bread. Not only the shepherd, but sometimes the lamb. And God, father, mother, rock, fortress, potter, shield. We know, we really know that these are simply tools for understanding abstract concepts about the divine. And they can be very helpful. And yet sometimes I fear that we let the words limit our understanding. Think about the arguments over the gender of God that have been raised. We can't use that language. Oh, we mustn't use this language. Yes, we have to use this language. Sometimes we forget that the biblical writers used both maternal and paternal characteristics for God. Metaphors are great unless we allow them not to enhance our understanding, but to limit our understanding. Because some things, some concepts, some theological ideas just don't fit into words. And all we have are words. My musings continued. Went down a number of trails with metaphors, and then I turned back to verse 27, that verse that caught me so. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. There's a lot of talk about voice in the Bible. Only a few fortunate folks ever heard the actual voice of Jesus, and yet that's not the only voice that captures our attention. We think and talk about hearing that voice today. What in the world does that mean? What is that voice? Is it the voice of God, the voice of Christ? I think we would agree that this voice refers to some divine communication from God to humans. But really, what does that mean? Some think of it as a really strong feeling to hear the voice. Some of us think of it as our conscience. Maybe you have heard the voice through an event in your life, an experience you had. Or maybe through the words of another, a trusted friend or wise teacher. What and how do we hear? Let me tell you a story that came to mind this week in my musings. A long time ago, longer than I really want to admit, when our two oldest were still in car seats, I was reprimanding the older one for poking his brother. I know that never happened in your house, but occasionally it happened with our four boys. And I said to him in my calmest, most maternal voice, "You're the big brother now, and God wants you to help us take care of this new baby. So you need to remember not to poke him. Can you do that, please?" Quiet. And after a few minutes of real quiet, this little voice came from the back seat as I'm driving along, and it said, "Mom, when I get ready to poke the baby, and I don't, is that me thinks, or is that God talking?" Oh, that was the beginning of many years of theological conversation with my children. But I like that. And it came to mind this, we don't know. I don't have an answer. If it's your thinks or God talking, you will have to discern that. And I think in this chaotic, noisy life of ours, it would have to be a really loud voice to penetrate the racket. And that's rarely the case. So how do we hear? I think we have to learn to listen with our hearts. For while words are the tools we have and use the most for trying to capture the love we have come to experience with that which we call God, sometimes I think we do ourselves a disservice when we try so hard to get it all into words. The love of God in Christ is something that no words can adequately capture. The preeminent rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel once wrote, "To become aware of the ineffable is to part company with words." What a profound observation. To become aware of the ineffable is to part company with words. And so let us listen. Listen with our hearts and be patient. Listen and follow. I'm also struck and reminded of the words of St. Augustine, whose name has come up frequently this week with our new Augustinian Pope. St. Augustine once reflected, imagine if all creation should become silent so that we could hear the voice of the one who created it. Oh, would that we could. So there you are. Those are my musings for the week. Those are the paths that I went down. Sometimes reading and studying a text doesn't always lead to a clear and definitive interpretation. Sometimes it takes us on a journey. And these are just some of the paths down which this passage led me this week as I pondered it in the silence. To become silent and sit with a text is a real treat, and it's a treat you can give yourself. I hope you'll take some time this week to pick a passage of Scripture, maybe even stay with this one, and take some time for pondering. I wonder what will capture your attention, prompt you to do some deeper thinking. And as you do, I challenge you to take great care not to limit the message by limiting the words. And I really do hope you'll share some of your ponderings with me. Listen. Do you hear that? No. Well, listen again. Nothing. Don't give up. For the God who came to us in a form that we might recognize, the God who continues to come to us to reach out across time and space and through and beyond words, speaks. If we listen with our hearts, perhaps we too will hear. Perhaps we too will hear and follow. Amen. Now go. Go into this week and treat yourself to some silence. Sit. Sit with the passage and allow it to filter through you, to bubble up in you. Sit. And listen. Listen with your heart. Listen through the words and beyond the words. Listen and follow. And as you do, you can go in the full assurance of the God who calls us daily into being and the Christ who shows the way, and that wonderfully inspiring and enlivening Holy Spirit will be with you every step of your journey. Amen and amen.